Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tip of the Iceberg Live, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Belsky, and I figured I should probably clear this up because there was a couple comments both on Twitter and on YouTube earlier today. I did change my last name, got married a couple months ago, changed my last name, was waiting until everything was entirely switched over with the legal process of it all before I started using it on here. So yes, my last name is now Belsky and no longer Berlansky. But now that we got that cleared up, let's get to what people actually came to listen to, came to talk about, and that is the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, a huge week over the last week for the Penguins. 6-3 win over the New Jersey Devils. A 4-1 win over the Washington Capitals. 5-4 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then a 3-2 overtime loss at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. And that's how they rounded out their week. But a 3-0-1 week, including the tail end of a very successful road trip for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That road trip against all Metropolitan Division teams, against all teams that are in this fight. Obviously, they started off with a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets in which they lost in overtime. We talked about that last week. They followed that up with a major victory over the New York Rangers, which we talked about last week. But then these other games on that road trip, 6-3 win over the Devils. That one was a major difference for the Penguins because typically against the Devils, they had struggled. 7 straight losses against the New Jersey Devils heading into that one. And then they go down 3-1 going into the third period. The vibes were not great. The Penguins were struggling the way that they had struggled against the New Jersey Devils in the past. Down 3-1 in the third period, struggling to really deal with the Devils' speed. And instead, they score 5 unanswered, and that kickstarts another layer of really stellar Penguins hockey through not just the third period there, where Malkin and Crosby score 2 goals each and get them the win. They play a terrific game on the road against the Washington Capitals. That one I was in town for, I was in the building for, and the Penguins, they turned that one into a defensive masterclass against Alex Ovechkin and the top power play in the National Hockey League since February 1st. They certainly gave him enough chances, including a nearly 2-minute 5-on-3 in the third period with a couple goal lead there. But the Penguins did a stellar job on the penalty kill. They did a good job at 5-on-5, defending the front of the net and making sure that Alex Nedeljkovic was relatively unscathed. So they win that one by a final score of 4-1, and then they have that game on Saturday, which was a crazy atmosphere at PPG Paints Arena. From everybody that was at that game that I talked to said that that was one of the loudest moments of the season at PPG Paints Arena when Michael Bunting was able to score the game-winning goal in the third period. Pens had blown that 4-1 lead, and all of a sudden, it looked like what it looked like in, I don't know, previous seasons, previous games this season, whenever they gave up that lead where they couldn't get the momentum back, they couldn't get the big goal, and instead, Michael Bunting gets the big goal, and he erases that blown lead by the Penguins, and like I mentioned, they closed it out with an overtime loss yesterday. I'll talk a little bit more extensively about that one because it's the most recent one. It's not a loss that kills the Penguins' chances. They're still tied for that last spot in the Eastern Conference playoff race, which is what we'll talk about here, but you know, you look at the game that they played, a really stellar first period against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Some were saying the best first period that they have played all season long. I think they've had a couple of other games in which they looked a little bit better. That Colorado game a couple weeks ago, for one. But I do agree that they looked really good in the first period. They maintained possession. They kept the puck out of the Stars' hands on the other team. Obviously, Matthews and Marner and Nylander and John Tavares are all very, very talented. Pens were able to keep the puck away from them, able to keep possession in the Toronto Maple Leafs zone, and they created a couple chances. They didn't create enough scoring chances for me to say, oh, that was the best they've played, but the forecheck was working and clicking on all cylinders. They were getting their opportunities, and eventually they broke through with a nice goal from Rickard Rakell, his 200th of his career. Second and third periods, the Maple Leafs' skill showed, and they were proving that they're the team that is in a playoff spot and now just playing for seeding versus being a team that is currently fighting for their playoff lives, and they were the better team in the second and third periods. And it got to a point where Mike Sullivan had to make a couple of decisions, and those decisions were benching a lot of young players. Jesepul Järvi, Valtteri Puustinen, Emil Bemström, all got very limited to no ice time in the third period. Jeff Carter moves up to the third line, and the first two lines get double shifted. And what happens at the end of the day? They don't go out there to start overtime. They tie it up late, which is huge. The goal from Drew O'Connor to get the Penguins that standings point is massive in the grand scheme of things. But then overtime starts, and who's out there for overtime? Lars Eller, Drew O'Connor, which is fine, and Erik Karlsson, which is fine. The question became, where was Crosby? Where was Malkin? Well, we got the answer to one of those after the game. Mike Sullivan saying Sidney Crosby was dealing with a skate issue, which is believable considering the fact that we had saw throughout the game he was dealing with a skate issue. He was dealing with a lot of issues in the second period. He was getting hit, high-sticked. It turned out to be just the puck, but it was actually the puck in both the puck and the stick, and it didn't get called. But at the end of the day, Crosby doesn't get out there. Malkin doesn't get out there. And I saw a couple people online, Rob Rossi of The Athletic being one of them, saying, well, Malkin's not really good in 3-on-3 overtime. And I get that. And I understand that wholeheartedly. But you look at what Evgeny Malkin and Michael Bunting have done over the last couple of games. And while you're going to ride the hot hand in net with Alex Nedeljkovic, you got to ride the hot hand on the ice with Evgeny Malkin and Michael Bunting. Bunting was all over the ice. I was shocked that he wasn't the one that ended up scoring the tying goal. I was shocked he didn't get a goal at all yesterday. He had so many shots on goal, so many opportunities. He was the focal point of the power play, which they didn't score a goal. They gained some momentum. They had a couple of nice chances, but that ended up costing them at the end of the day because they weren't able to convert. I thought Bunting looked really good yesterday, and I thought that if you put him and Evgeny Malkin out there, or Evgeny Malkin and Brian Rust out there, I thought you would have had a much better opportunity than throwing Lars Eller out there, who got caught with Karlsson, with O'Connor, and they were out there the entire first minute and a half, and it turns into a goal for Jake McCabe and the Toronto Maple Leafs. But like I mentioned, it's not detrimental to the Penguins' chances. In fact, if you look at moneypuck.com, their chances didn't change really at all. Pittsburgh Hornets threw it in here, 38.4% chance for the Penguins to make the playoffs, pretty much the same as it was before. Why? Because they were able to get that bonus point. That all-important bonus point. So that goal from Drew O'Connor is massive because it pulled the Penguins to a tie with the Detroit Red Wings. And let's not forget, as we'll get to here in a little bit, they have those massive matchups against the Red Wings coming up next, and then against the New York Islanders next Wednesday to close out the season. Let's get to our three stars of the week. This time, a completely new slate. Last week, it was, I believe, Alex Nedeljkovic, Brian Rust, and Sidney Crosby. This week, we started off with EK65, Erik Karlsson, in four games played, had 5 points over the past week, one of those being goals, the other four being assists. If you look at what he's done, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the day on Tip of the Iceberg. Erik Karlsson has elevated his game during this stretch to a massive, massive level. Much more physically engaged, which is huge. Also, taking command of the team is really the best way that I could say that. What's different between him now versus earlier in the season is he's starting to take over. You saw last night he went end-to-end on that opportunity on the power play, just slicing through the Toronto Maple Leafs defenders, and at the end of the day, ran out of space, got a shot on goal. There's nobody there to pick up the rebound, but Erik Karlsson's doing more and more of that stuff, and that is when he's at his best, is when he's able to go out there and play his game and play freely, and that's what he's been doing over the last couple of weeks simply because he's playing like there's no tomorrow. The Penguins are letting him play like there's no tomorrow. And Marcus Pettersson going back on his wing for a majority of the time certainly doesn't hurt either. So Erik Karlsson, 5 points in four games played. He's my third star of the week. Let's move over and talk about the second star of the week. That's going to go to former Maple Leaf. He didn't score yesterday, but Michael Bunting has been great for the Penguins over the last couple of games. Obviously, he's been great for the Penguins ever since coming over just prior to the trade deadline and the Jake Guentzel deal. In this past week, though, 4 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists. But even in particular, you look at those 2 goals. The first one coming against the Washington Capitals. He gets out on the breakaway. Half breakaway, I should say, slap shot past Charlie Lindgren. It's a huge goal and a huge moment for the Penguins on a very important road game where if they lost that one, this one on Monday would have stung 10 times worse because they would be in a really tough position. So a huge goal against the Capitals, and I already talked about it earlier in this episode, a massive goal against the Tampa Bay Lightning to get the Penguins back on top late in the third period. Puts it away in his office as well. It was Patrick Hornqvist's office in the late 2010s. It is now Michael Bunting's office in the blue paint. He's able to put that one away. A huge goal for him, and that's why he gets the second star of the week. And first star of the week, his line mate, his center, Evgeny Malkin, is on an absolute tear. 7 points, 4 goals. 3 assists in the last 4 games played. When you look at what the Penguins have been able to do to succeed over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, it starts with Evgeny Malkin and Michael Bunting. They have outscored opponents, I believe it's either 8-1 or 9-1 at 5-on-5 over the last 4 or 5 games. They've been extremely, extremely good. And Ricard Raquel obviously coming up big in a couple of instances as well against the Devils last week and against the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday to get the Penguins the lead in the first period. Seeing Evgeny Malkin reach this level again is refreshing. For one, and two, much needed, because the Penguins, even if you look just at last night as a microcosm, the bottom six, they've been pretty good throughout this stretch. They've been able to keep momentum for the Penguins. They weren't last night. They were outmatched, outmanned, and just outplayed in every corner and every aspect by the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were able to just run 4 lines on the Penguins. The Pens, bottom six, they struggled mightily, and then they needed to turn to the top six. And it can't just be Crosby's line, because that's what it's been for a majority of this season. Just Sidney Crosby, Brian Rust, Jake Guentzel, and whoever they have with them. Drew O'Connor, who's up there right now and playing well. The Penguins were able to turn to that second line. They double-shifted both of them, which is, at the end of the day, it's desperate. It's what you have to do, especially in a game like last night. But it's nice to have Evgeny Malkin playing at the level that he is. It's nice to have that second line playing at the level they are. You look at Malkin's performance over the last 2 weeks compared to the remainder of the season, it's night and day. Now, a lot of people are going to point to it's when his family came into town. Maybe. I mean, it certainly appears that way. Maybe that helped him, or maybe it's because the Penguins' backs were up against the wall, and he's a great player, and great players stand up whenever their team's backs are against the wall, and that's what Malkin's done. The second line has really started to take over, and that is nothing but great news for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you can't discount what Michael Bunting has done for Evgeny Malkin. It's somebody who they have immediate chemistry, and Bunting goes to the places of the ice that Malkin needs him to go to create opportunities, to open up lanes, and to open up scoring chances for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Coming up for the remainder of the season, not just the remainder of next week, but the remainder of the season, the Pittsburgh Penguins have 4 games left. They're currently tied for the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, but the Detroit Red Wings do have a game in hand, making Thursday's matchup that much more important. But that's what's up first on the docket. The Penguins and the Red Wings, a massive matchup that could determine one of the final playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. The Penguins, they've had their ups and downs with the Red Wings. The last time they played them, it was a 6-3 victory in which the Pens looked like the much better team, but the Pens have struggled against the Red Wings a couple of times over the past couple of seasons, so it depends on which team shows up. If the Penguins of the last 2 weeks in the first period yesterday show up, I think they're going to be in a good position to take down a Red Wings team who has struggled mightily over the month of March and into the month of April, and they've struggled and kind of just been able to barely hold ground in that playoff race. I think the Penguins have an advantage going into this one despite losing, simply because this is a team that has played every other day in the Penguins for the last month and a half. They get that second day off. They get that little bit of rest before this home stretch. It's going to be huge for the Pens. That's a massive matchup. One of the top matchups for the Penguins remaining in the season. Then they have two more games on a homestand, first on Saturday against the Boston Bruins. They're hoping the Bruins are kind of resting on their laurels. I don't think they will, simply because Brad Marchand always gets up to play the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the Pens and the Bruins Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time, that's going to be a difficult matchup for the Penguins. Probably the toughest matchup they have remaining. Again, that's if the Bruins are clicking on all cylinders. The Bruins right now are looking for a clinched Atlantic Division title, but they have their foot in the door of clinching that title. They're looking for the first seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're looking for the President's Trophy. So they're looking to get a little bit of hard way here in the last week of the season. It's the toughest team the Penguins have left on the schedule. If they can get through the Red Wings, a win on Saturday might put them in a very prime position considering who all these other teams are facing over the next week. Red Wings and the Capitals play later tonight. That's going to be a huge game with implications on the Penguins. And then after tonight, the Pens, the Red Wings, the Capitals, and the Flyers and the Islanders all play their next couple of games on the same day. So it's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching, including Saturday night against the Boston Bruins. Monday night, they take on the Nashville Predators, a team that has been red hot in the back half of the season, a team that is all but guaranteed a playoff spot in the Western Conference, and a team that the Penguins have played pretty well against over the last couple of seasons. So Monday's game, while it might look like a light game on the schedule because it's a Western Conference opponent, it's an opponent that is fairly secure in their positioning in the playoff race, it's going to be, again, no easy games for the Penguins here in the last stretch of the season. And then they close it off out, of course, on the island. New York Islanders, Pittsburgh Penguins could very well be for a playoff spot, could very well be for third place in the Metropolitan Division. Again, Penguins, if you look back to last year, they're probably hoping it doesn't come down to the last game or the last two games in a win or go home scenario. But it very well could be that, considering how difficult all of the schedules are around this wild card race. And the fact that that'll be the last game on the schedule. Penguins, Islanders, two teams right now that are sitting at the tippy top of that race for third place in the Metropolitan Division. And two teams right now that are 100% engaged in that wild card two situation. Speaking of, let's take a look at the standings here before we answer some questions. New York Islanders taking over the Metro third position. If you remember last week when we had this live stream, the Philadelphia Flyers were up there. So when you see how much things have changed in the past week, understand that a lot could happen between now and next Wednesday night when the Penguins close the season against the New York Islanders. But the Islanders right now leading the pack with 85 points and 77 games played. Tampa Bay is sitting right there, but Tampa Bay is unlikely to be caught by anybody on this graphic. So we're just going to say that they're locked into either wild card one or Atlantic 3, even though that's a bit of a stretch. Oh, wait, no, they can't catch Atlantic 3. They're about 10 points out. So they're going to finish Wild Card 1. Wild Card 2 right now is the Detroit Red Wings, who are tied in points with the Penguins, but considering they have one less game played, they do get the tiebreaker there at the end of the season. Obviously, that tiebreaker is going to be null and void. The important thing for the Penguins is regulation wins when it comes to a tie with the Detroit Red Wings. And let me look that up right now, but I do believe the Penguins have that tiebreaker as of right now over the Red Wings. The Red Wings have 27 regulation wins, whereas the Penguins have 31. So they do have a little bit of a buffer there. They do need to have, you know, they do need to take care of their business in the remaining couple of games. They have the tiebreaker over the Red Wings as of right now. They have the tiebreaker over the New York Islanders as of right now. One more regulation win for the Penguins, and they will clinch that tiebreaker, so then they only need to tie the Islanders to surpass them in the standings. These are important factors and facets that are easier to look at the end of the season than they are to look at right now, because a lot can change between now and next Wednesday. So the Penguins sitting with 84 points in 78 games. They're the last team out as of right now. A familiar position for this team, who were in a similar one last season going into the last week of the season, but tied in points with the Red Wings and only 1 point above both the Washington Capitals and the Philadelphia Flyers. The Flyers have lost 7 straight games as of right now. They're at 78 games played. Their playoff odds have plummeted. Their youth has been evident, and they have dropped in the standings to now 3 spots out of a playoff spot. But still, if they turn it around in the last week, they can still fight their way in. The Washington Capitals are an interesting team. 0-4-2 in their last 6 games. They seem to be, at one point, in complete control of Wild Card 2. They've dropped out, including that massive loss to the Penguins on home ice last week. 83 points in 77 games. They have that game in hand. If they win that game in hand tonight against the Red Wings, the Washington Capitals will move back in to a playoff position, and the Penguins will be 1 point behind both the Islanders and the Washington Capitals. Isles on the ice tonight as well, so there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I haven't been able to look into the comment section as of yet, so I'm going to look through it here. And as I pull up the remaining schedules for everybody, because that's how I'm going to go through the end of this episode, let's look through and see what questions we have from you guys. And we have Pittsburgh Hornets saying, as I said after that game, the Pirates are hitting home runs and the Pens are bunting, and I'm loving both. Gotta love that one. I mean, the Pirates, they hit home runs. Obviously, they didn't hold the lead today. That's an unfortunate reality of the Pirates situation. They blew a lead just like the Penguins like to blow leads, but they're 9-3. So who's going to be that upset? Jeff Anderson asks Pustinen. Okay, that is in response to Pittsburgh Hornets. Who has the best legs for 3-on-3? At the end of the day, I would say Pustinen. I would say Brian Rust, and I would say Drew O'Connor from a winger perspective. When it comes to the centers, none of them really have legs. I mean, you have Jeff Carter, you have Lars Eller, you have Sidney Crosby, and you have Evgeny Malkin. Now, last night, the way Malkin was playing, I would have put Malkin out there, especially if Sidney Crosby had that skate issue that everybody was talking about. So, yes, I would have put Malkin out there. I don't think that he has necessarily the legs for overtime. Also, he struggled notoriously in 3-on-3, but at this point of the season, when you don't have somebody who is that 3-on-3 masterpiece, mastermind, whatever you want to call it, you put out your best players. Now, Mike Sullivan decided that he wanted to put out Lars Eller, get the faceoff win, somebody who's defensively responsible, maybe wear down the opposing team and their top guys so you can get a more favorable matchup. Danny Shirey put that out there yesterday on Twitter. It's big braining it. At the end of the day, it's overtime, it's 3-on-3, it's next point wins, you put out your best players. And if one of them's not available in Sidney Crosby, and he wasn't, skate issue, then you put out Evgeny Malkin, somebody who's been very good for the Penguins over the last couple of weeks. But to answer your question, Pittsburgh Hornets, it's mainly the wingers that have the legs for 3-on-3. Your Drew O'Connors, your Brian Rusts, your Valtteri Pustinens, as Jeff Anderson put it here. But Pustinen was being benched in the third period, so he wouldn't have gotten out there in 3-on-3 anyway. So that is that's the answer to that one. Let's see if there's any other questions here. Jackson says, to be clear, we want the Wings, Habs, and Rangers later. The math seems to make the most sense that way. He's 100% correct, Jackson. You do want the Wings tonight to win that one because you do have that four-point swing still on the schedule on Thursday. You want the Habs and you want the Rangers to win because they take out the other two teams the Penguins are contending with. Rangers take on the Islanders tonight, and the Habs take on the... Let me look down here. I have the schedule right in front of me. The Habs take on the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's who it is there. Pittsburgh Hornets also asks to close out this show, who has the hardest road? The Penguins, the Islanders, the Detroit Red Wings, the Philadelphia Flyers, or the Washington Capitals? When I'm looking at the schedules and I have them up here, it looks like the Islanders have the hardest schedule, which is good for the Penguins because that's the team right now that is above them. That's the team right now that has probably the highest percent chance, I should say, of making the playoffs, which is what we've seen so far. They have the Rangers tonight. They have Montreal a little bit later this week. Then they have the Rangers again on the road. Then they have the Devils again on the road. And then they face the Pittsburgh Penguins at home. So two matchups against the Rangers, a matchup against the Devils, and a matchup against the Penguins to close things out on home ice. That is probably the toughest. When you look at everybody else, Detroit, they have Washington, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Montreal, and Montreal. Those Canadiens games definitely help buffer their schedule. The Penguins have Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders. No easy games on that one. The Washington Capitals have the Detroit Red Wings, the Buffalo Sabres, who have played spoiler pretty well over the last couple of weeks. They've gotten a couple big wins against these five teams here. The Tampa Bay Lightning, the Boston Bruins, and the Philadelphia Flyers. So a tough back half of the schedule there for the Washington Capitals. And then if you look at what the Philadelphia Flyers have, the final team in this race, they go to Montreal, they go to the Rangers, they host the Devils, and they host the Washington Capitals. No easy schedules by any means for any of those five teams. But I would say if you're looking for the hardest schedule, that one has to go to the New York Islanders. Those multiple games against the New York Rangers, a team that is still fighting for something, still fighting for seeding, those are going to be tough ones for the Islanders, and those are going to be ones that the Penguins are going to be keeping a close eye on as the Islanders try to get matched up with a Rangers team that the Penguins played in recent history. But that's going to do it for this episode of Tip of the Iceberg Live. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully we can continue doing this with games to look forward to next week. Next Tuesday, we'll be going live around the same time, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, with that one last game on the schedule at that point. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see where they're at that point. But in the meantime, catch us on Iceberg to Go and catch us on Tip of the Iceberg every single weekday. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.